Are you looking to learn more about investing in the Central Indiana real estate market? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Indy Real Estate Investing Podcast with TNH Realty, where we discuss all things related to investing in the Central Indiana real estate market. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Indy Real Estate Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Tallman with TNH Realty. We are a residential property management company that services the Central Indiana market. The title of this podcast is How Mindset Matters During Inspections. And with me to discuss this issue is someone who has a whole lot of experience with inspections, and that is our lead real estate broker, Devin Shaw. Welcome back to the show, Devin.
It's great to be back.
Good to see you. So, Devin, how's your bracket? We're in the middle of March Madness. We always do a nice bracket here, give away prizes at TNH. How you doing?
I'm not last, so I'm sitting about middle of the pack right now. So we'll see. I have Tennessee winning it all. So
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, I have the methodical algorithm of choosing teams by which logo I like better, if anyone's wondering. So,
you know, it's funny you said that because Brooke, who's our wonderful marketing person and who you started in that marketing role and moved on, and then we had someone named Mackenzie who's moved on to other things in our company who's awesome, and now we have Brooke. She literally told me the exact same thing last week, that she looks at logos. So maybe it's a marketing thing that she, unfortunately, I think picked Texas Tech, who was eliminated very early. So her bracket is not good, but no, we love college basketball. Indianapolis is, you know, in a lot of ways considered the epicenter of college basketball. We have the NCAA headquarters here, and one of the regionals was here. And so it's a fun time in Indianapolis. So Devin, let's get into the subject today. That's inspections. We're really busy, just as an aside note, and we have over 30 on our deal board, which I don't think we've ever broken into the 30s before, like current deals that we're working, but it's still hard to buy things out there, right? I mean, you're still kind of grinding every day to get things bought. That's the case, I'm assuming, right?
It is. Yeah. For some context, you know, I probably look at anywhere from 10 to 15 homes a week. You know, I usually write at least 5 offers a week, and we're maybe getting 1 or 2, maybe 1 to 4 a month under contract. So,
right. All right. So it is still hard to buy things out there. So I think when you get a property under contract, really only half, I don't know what it exactly is, of kind of the negotiations are done, or that your work is done. And I don't know, I'm going to guess, it depends on the person, but my guess is there are some investors that once they finally get that property under contract, you know, maybe they've written, you've helped them write a bunch of offers and they keep on coming in second or whatever it is. They finally get that property under contract, that maybe they let their guard down a bit. You know, they finally are kind of like, wow, finally, they take a breath, like, oh, I finally won. I finally got something under contract. But really, as I mentioned earlier, the battle isn't won yet. Inspections are a big deal. So I think, and we're going to get into this, but it's so important for investors to stay kind of on guard and be ready to keep battling until the finish line, which is ultimately the closing. And we've had a bunch of recent examples of deals that have fallen through an inspection. So we want to talk about that. And we think, and we talked about this, Devin, at length, you and I have, and we agree that mindset is so important when you go into those inspections, and it's critical to get into that right mindset when you go through that inspections. So let's set the scenario up, Devin. You've worked hard, you've got a property under contract, financing is solid. There's going to be no problems with that. You feel good about that. The buyer feels good about that. So that next big hurdle again to cross is that inspection. We always advise inspections. And I realize there are some instances where buyers may waive inspections to get very competitive, or maybe they're like, hey, I'm completely rehabbing this home. There's nothing I'm not going to touch. So I don't really care if, you know, the plumbing's not great or the electrical's not great, because I'm redoing it all anyway. So mentally, Devin, let's get into this a lot here. What mindset should that buyer have And what do you do as an agent to kind of prepare them for that inspection?
Yeah, you know, luckily, since we do see so many inspections, I've been able to gather a pretty good idea, you know, based on the kind of property it is, the age of the property, how it's built. I've been able to kind of get some good data points on, all right, I think these are probably some of the issues we're going to see. If it's on a crawl space, for example, I don't think I've ever seen a crawl space that doesn't have some mold down there. So, you know, being able to kind of gather some of that information. So I do really try to kind of prep buyers and try to give them some potential things they might see. Inspection reports are 30 to 50 pages, so it can feel very overwhelming. So I really try to preface that you just got to kind of walk through it. It's not always as bad as it looks. So just kind of try to prep for the actual report, because it can be very overwhelming and the buyer usually gets it before I do. So that's a big thing. But more than that, I think when you're talking about mindset, really what that comes down to is keeping your goal in mind. You know, why do you want to invest in real estate? Why is it important to buy this property? Keeping your goal in mind. Is this something I'm going to flip? Is this, you know, going to be a long-term buy and hold investment for me? Keeping your goal in mind, why you wanted to do this in the first place, I think is very important, and will help kind of keep the big picture in mind kind of when you have to go through the inspection and figure out, you know, if it makes sense to move forward or not.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You know, I think you're right. Like, I live in a home that was built in 1880. Okay, my house is 144 years old. And it was completely remodeled before I bought it. But I know when I go to sell that property down the road, there's going to be a laundry list of things that I'm going to be expected to fix. But I'll also say that even a home that was built, let's say 2018, there's going to be things that inspectors find. I don't think age necessarily is the only determinant on how bad an inspection or how good an inspection goes, because inspectors are paid to find things that are wrong. Okay. It's their job. That's what they're there to do. And I don't, you know, I've bought a lot of homes and sold a lot of homes over the years, and you've done the same. And I just don't know that I've ever seen an inspection report that said it's all good. Like, move in, no problems to worry about at all. They're paid to find things. So this may seem like a fundamental question, Devin, but again, what is the inspector's goal? What's that deliverable? What does that general inspection cover for the buyer?
Yeah. So, you know, the inspector is really there to just evaluate all the major components of the property. So they're going to look at the roof, the mechanicals, the plumbing, the electrical, kind of all the main components that make up the property. You know, they're not looking at if there's some ripped linoleum flooring. Like, those aren't things that they're there to find. You know, cosmetics are not their primary concern. So they're really there to just look at the main foundational blocks of the property and evaluate those.
And then the deliverable looks like what? It's good, better. They grade them, right? Can you get into that a little bit about kind of what that, the specifics of the report?
Yeah. So typically most inspectors, they will kind of break it down into major repairs / safety hazard type category. And that's kind of like, you know, flashing red, like, you need to fix this typically. And then they will have more general maintenance items, and then they'll kind of have like items to monitor. So, you know, general maintenance items are usually, you know, I would say things maybe like there's some wood rot around a door frame, or, you know, things like that, that won't necessarily be detrimental to you if you're living in the house, but, you know, things that you probably want to repair at some point. And then items to monitor would be like, oh, the roof is getting towards the end of its mm-hmm. useful life. You know, you'll need to think about probably replacing this in the next few years, things like that.
Right. And so the buyer pays for this inspection. What do inspections run these days?
Yeah, they've definitely gone up a little bit for sure, I've been noticing. But I'd say an average full home inspection is probably going to run you between $350 to $400 a door.
Per door. So if you're buying a double, then $700 to $800 typically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just for a general inspection. I know there's add-ons as well. What kind of add-ons can buyers purchase, and what do you recommend and when?
Yeah, so you can get a termite inspection, which that's usually another $50. I honestly typically don't feel like it's worth the extra $50 because in my experience, an inspector in the normal home inspection, they will still point out if they see termite damage or termite activity. So the actual termite report just kind of goes a little bit more in depth, but honestly, they're going to point it out in the regular home inspection anyway. So I typically don't recommend that to buyers unless there's just some special case. Radon is another one. I'd say it's kind of 50-50. That radon's kind of a weird one. I typically don't recommend radon unless the house is on a basement or, you know, like if it's like a basement where people are going to be down there, like if the laundry's down there, people are going to have to be in that space. That's more of like when I would recommend doing radon. But if it's like a ranch on a slab, I typically don't think it's really worth it there. And then sewer scopes are probably the big one. I recommend every property have a sewer scope unless it's, you know, maybe only a few years old or something. But yeah, sewer scopes are huge. I'd say 75% of the properties we deal with have original sewer lines, and we're typically dealing with homes built from like 1900 to 1950 is pretty normal. So, you know, you kind of have those old clay cast iron sewer lines, and you know, that's $6,000 to $10,000 replacement costs if there's issues there. So sewer scopes are pricey. They're usually around $300 to $400 on its own, but you know, $300 to $400 now to save $10,000 down the line, I feel like it's usually worth it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get back to that inspection report. So someone gets a home under contract. Let's say it's that 1950s ranch you talked about a little bit ago. They have their inspection, and you've, in the meantime, I'm sure you're like, hey, look, this house is, what would that be, 74, 75 years old-ish at this point. You're going to, there's going to be some things come up, like inspectors are paid to find problems. So they get this huge report. You ultimately get a copy of it. What are you focusing on? Like, what is your, as a buyer's agent, someone who's there to advise buyers on what should happen, what part do you play in kind of dissecting that and, you know, slugging through that report?
Yeah. So typically when we get a report back, myself and our projects manager will go through that. So we can kind of get both of our set of eyes on it. You know, we kind of look at it from different lenses. So we'll both go through that, and really, you know, we go through the entire thing, but really then what we try to hone in on are health and safety issues, things that could be a liability or hazardous to someone that's going to be living in the property. A lot of times that would be like, you know, improper electrical issues, mold, things like that, things that could be detrimental to someone living there, you know, could cause a fire or, you know, just could be, you know, a hazard in any capacity. And then another thing we really like to look at, you know, and this kind of is where, you know, our property management expertise comes in as well, is just, you know, protecting the asset. So, you know, if there's just a ton of wood rot on the property and, you know, all the fascias rotting out, and that's something where that's just going to further deteriorate and it's not going to get any better. It's just going to keep getting worse and it can cause other issues down the line. So looking at things that will protect the property and that we feel, you know, again, might not be a hazard to someone living in the property, but it could be detrimental to the asset itself. And so getting that fixed sooner than later, we try to look at things like that as well.
Yeah. So you kind of compile a list of like, hey, these are the things I think are important. I'm sure our buyers have their own opinions as well. You know, a lot of our buyers are, it's not their first time doing this. They've probably seen a lot of inspection reports over the years, maybe here, maybe in different markets, whatever the case. So you all come up with a list of things that you feel like need to be repaired. What does that negotiation look like? What do you typically see here? And how do you negotiate to try to get this deal across the finish line?
Yeah. So there's kind of a couple of ways you can go about it. Really, the first way is you compile your list, and then you state that you want the seller to have a qualified contractor address all of the issues prior to closing. So then the seller would you know, have all of it done, and then you would reinspect before closing. And then the second way you can go about it is get estimates for all of the items that you would ask for. And then instead of asking the seller to complete them, just ask for a credit to be paid to the contractor at closing. And then the buyer would complete the repairs after closing. And I honestly prefer that method anytime we can. It can get messy sometimes when you let the seller do the repairs and you really have no control over who they're using. Right. And then, you know, I've just kind of seen it really drag things out where you get back in there for the reinspection and nothing was done right. So then you have to go back around and it's a lot of back and forth and yeah. So that can be a little bit messier of an option. So kind of depending on what the issues are and what needs to be fixed is usually, you know, I'll try to advise based on, you know, if there are kind of more smaller issues that, you know, you really don't have to worry too much, you know, I would probably advise letting the seller do it. If we start getting into like foundation issues or just things that are important that you really want to make sure you have a good qualified contractor doing everything properly, that's where I would try to push more to go the credit route. And then we can have our contractors do it on the back end where we can really control the quality of the work.
Yeah, I think control is the key word there, because you're right. How many times, I know in my own, you know, experience, and then I'm sure you felt it too, where the seller was supposed to make repairs, you go back and do a final inspection, and it's like, well, they didn't do this, 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 and this, or they didn't do it to the standard that we wanted it done. It becomes a very frustrating experience, prolongs closing. And I like the idea of us having more control with that, with our own contractors. We can hold them accountable and make sure the repairs are done the right way. So Devin, let's again say this 50s ranch, you create an inspection response and you say, based on this report, we want a $15,000 credit at closing paid to the, you know, paid to ABC Contracting, right? What are you finding out there? I mean, what are sellers doing today? Like, what are you experiencing?
Yeah, so it's definitely not quite as much of a seller's market. So I am finding that we buyers do have a little bit more of negotiating power, but it's still not great, to be honest. And, you know, it's tough too. And another thing that we run into, you know, we do work with a lot of out-of-state investors from the West Coast and markets that have, you know, their average price points are a lot higher than ours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, negotiating a $15,000 credit on a $500,000 house, not so crazy, but negotiating a $15,000 credit on a $100,000 house, mm-hmm. that ratio shrinks quite a bit. So, you know, it is a lot tougher because we are dealing with these smaller, you know, lower price points, but a lot of these properties just have a lot of deferred maintenance. And, you know, we just find that a lot of issues do come up. And again, there's a lot of things that come up where if you were moving into this home as your primary residence, you wouldn't necessarily have to fix those issues. And they're not necessarily major issues, but since you're going to have a renter in there, there are things that have to be done because they could be considered a liability. It could lead to a lawsuit down the road if one little thing went wrong and you knew about it. Like a big one is like GFCI outlets. You know, that's mm-hmm. a big thing. If they're not GFCI protected, if you are moving in and you're like, I don't care, great. You don't have to fix that if you don't want to. But as a rental, that's something that just has to be done as a minimum standard. But yeah, so when we're sending these negotiations over, I would say it's tough. Sellers don't really want to play ball. You know, there's still a lot of competition. Properties are still getting multiple offers here and there. So we are finding that we're definitely not able to negotiate as much as we would like. For example, I had a 4-unit under contract a few weeks ago, and, you know, there was pretty major foundation issues. I would say it was close to a $50,000 inspection estimate.
Wow.
And everything on there was like, has to be done. These weren't like nitpicky little things. And the sellers originally said they would give us $3,000, and then they came to five. So
Whoa. That so you're off by a multiple of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and that happens more often than not. I would say probably 60 to 70% of our deals fall through at inspection lately, just because sellers feel like, you know, they'll put it back on the market and they think they can get a better buyer the second time around. So it can be discouraging, but again, that's really where the mindset comes in. And it's really important to really think, okay, what's my goal? I'm holding on to this property. I plan to hold on to this property for 20 to 30 years. What is an extra $6,000 over those, you know, next 20 to 30 years? Is that really going to make or break your investment? You know, right. So.
Right. Yeah. You said a lot of things there that I think are interesting. Let me ask you this before we move on. Did that quad, that four unit that you had under contract, is it sold? Do you know, or do you keep track of it? I'm just curious.
As of earlier this week, it was still on the market.
Still on the market. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about something you mentioned yesterday when we were kind of talking about this podcast. Was if your buy box is this price range and you know that price range is going to require you to probably buy an older property, you said something the other day of, or yesterday, you're going to see the same inspection over and over, right? So again, it's kind of conditioning yourself that since this is my buy box, I'm going to probably buy an older home and I'm going to find these issues. Now, I'm sure there are exceptions, but generally speaking, they're going to see that inspection over and over again. Second thing I want to go over before we move into the kind of the second part of this podcast was you mentioned something a little bit ago about we do a lot of listings as well here, and we have far fewer that seem to fall apart at the inspection phase because you are selling to to occupants. These are going to be owner occupants of the property. That's a different philosophy. And I think that's a really important and interesting point you make. As an investor, you have to bring your property up to a pretty high standard, right? So you can't let that GFCI you mentioned just pass. You can't let, you know, a handrail that may not be, you may not want a handrail in a certain area, but you can't not have handrails if it's out of code, certain amount of risers and things. In a lot of ways, you have to make that property in some ways better to place a tenant, as opposed to I can live with that. If I get shocked because I failed to do a GFCI, I have myself to blame. I'm not going to sue myself. If I fall because I didn't place a handrail somewhere, can't sue myself. So I think that's a really interesting point that investors need to keep in mind. So I just wanted to thought I'd comment on that. So let's move over, Devin. The home inspection is one part of this. So it's, again, the stuff you mentioned, like health and safety, you know, things to monitor, maintenance, those type of things. And they're all laid out there. But as you mentioned earlier, home inspectors, they don't care about cosmetics in most cases. They don't care about how clean a home is. They don't care about the marketability of a home. But we do, right? And the investor should. And we call this kind of the second inspection, because there have been times where, and we've heard it from, let's say, clients who brought us homes that they had just bought, went through a home inspection, and had this feeling that, well, all the inspection things were done, so the house is move-in ready, but it's not. So again, talk about that in that second inspection that we kind of put homes through to make sure that's ready to rent.
Yeah. So I will caveat, if you work with us to purchase the home, this will be the first inspection. Right. But so, you know, if I'm going to look at a property for a client, the initial walkthrough, when I go check it out, I always take a video and kind of do some commentary on what I see and point things out. But yeah, so when I initially walk through a property, I am looking at the marketability of the home. I'm looking at layout. How's the kitchen? What do the appliances look like? Flooring, paint, all of those cosmetic things that are going to make a difference. And, you know, there's a lot of times where you get in and like the carpet is borderline. It, you know, it's worn. You might be able to get away with it, but, you know, so I'm just looking at those very nitpicky things. So that is kind of my initial walkthrough. But yes, if clients are bringing properties to us, kind of what the property managers are going to go in and look for are those more cosmetic things. and make sure the home, you know, is fresh. It's, you know, it's going to market well. You want to make a good first impression, especially sure. right now. The rental market is, you know, it's tough. You know, it's a little bit harder to rent things. So you have to put your best foot forward. So, you know, fresh paint is almost a given. I'd say it's very rare that we have a property that we don't recommend just repainting and make it fresh and things like that. Flooring is another big one. Appliances, just really making sure that home looks good just from an aesthetic point of view. It's really important.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. Yeah. And I think, Devin, if I'm right, you, when you do that walkthrough in that video and you send it back to the client, you're kind of giving them like ballpark. All right. You're not a contractor. You're not going to create a bid for them, something like that. But you're saying, hey, based on this, I see that, you know, the flooring's bad. It's going to need painting. The appliances are horrible. You can expect this amount of money just in like rent ready stuff. Is that how you phrase it basically?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, so you got that, and then you have the inspection. A typical home inspection. So it's a kind of a combination of numbers that the investor has to work through to say, these are things like health and safety that are non-negotiable. These are things I really need to do to get my home rented in a timely fashion, get the number I need to make this investment work. So it's a combination of things that have to kind of be fit together and say, as a whole, this property still works for me and I move forward.
Right. Yeah. And again, that's really where the mindset comes in and is so important, because unfortunately a lot of inspection repairs are not going to add any value to the property. You're not going to get that value back out on the back end. So you really just, you can't be looking at it from like an ARV mindset. Oh, I'm going to put this money in and get X out. No, unfortunately, it's just kind of the cost of doing business and, you know, getting it up to a rental standard. So again, really just keeping in mind, is it worth getting this property, spending a little bit more than you thought you were going to have to, or starting all over, and who knows when you'll get the next thing under contract and how far that'll push you away from your goals.
Yeah. One thing we talked about yesterday, I guess, to kind of put a button on it, is just the opportunity cost too, right? If you say, I want to buy one property this year, and you get something under contract, you got your financing lined up, you pay for that inspection, you've invested a lot of time and money and effort into getting to where you are, and to blow that all away, you're kind of starting back at the start line. And that's something that has to be weighed in, right? Because there is a lot of effort. You experience it on the agent side. Those buyers experience it too. I'm sure it's demoralizing in some ways to have it fall apart there. And I think that has to be considered in. It's like, do I want to really start this all over again, or do I want to pay a little more to get this deal done now? You know, start earning equity now, start earning cash flow now, as opposed to who knows when, right? It's kind of a bird in the hand thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Devin, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, a lot. Thank you. My pleasure.
We hope everyone has picked up some information that will help them in their investing. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another podcast. In the meantime, we encourage you to share this podcast with your investing friends. Leave us a review and don't hesitate to reach out to us with any questions. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. And please stay invested in your investment.